Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, October the 9th, 279th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from the state of Humboldt.
Better than the state of Jefferson. Yeah, well, or maybe not.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
Rex Bone is alongside. How you doing, bud?
Good. Really well.
Good, good. This afternoon we'll spend a little bit of time talking about some of the ripples as they're starting to hit the shore off of the public meeting that happened a couple weeks ago. I'll get an update about the community forest, maybe traffic and all kinds of fun stuff that is out there swirling around, maybe even an airport update. We'll find out when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Alrighty, 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone, but before we do, our quote, sir.
Today's quote, society in every state is a blessing, but government, even in its best stage, is a necessary evil. In its worst state, an intolerable one. That's Thomas kinda, Paine.
Yeah, you got that one up in the office?
I look at it every once in a while. Trying to stay away from the intolerable part.
Yeah. Oh, I would imagine so. Well, good thing you're bipolar. You can handle this thing.
Really?
Before we get into it, how are you able to balance some of the nonprofit and charitable work that you were able to do before being a supervisor? Are you able to keep plugging along with that, or you had to back that off a little?
You know, I haven't backed off. I didn't do Little League this year, so that was a big thing for me, and that took a lot of time, and they did a great job. Greg Pope and the crew there, they did a great job. I got by there a little bit. I still have the fields. We've made some changes out there, but I still manage the fields and everything else. I figure that's my albatross and my blessing. I love it out there. So, you know, I can go out there on Sundays and mow and do stuff like that.
Now.
Yeah, yeah. But some of the auctions have wavered off a little bit. I'm not taking any really new ones on. Like this year we're doing the Socks for Soldiers. It's going to be their last one. You know, Paulette's done such a great job, and that one's coming up. I'm doing one Sunday for the 4-H Lamb Barbecue down there in Fortuna, and they do a little auction with that and stuff. I'm pretty committed to most of the organizations that do them because it's usually their main funding source. So I hate to tell them no, and we don't. I'd love for somebody to come in and do some of them, but the problem is once they find out you don't get paid for it, that it's all voluntary, they don't think it's that great a deal. Yeah. But I mean, it's my way. I can still give a little bit back to the community because, I mean, it's been good to me. So, I mean, it's just a nice way. My father said, you get out of a community what you put into it. So,
the fact that you're an elected with a title, does that help you or does that hinder you in these situations? Because I could see either scenario playing out.
You know, it's kind of funny because we were talking about that this morning. And without sounding corny, I don't like people to call me supervisor. I like just Rex. I've been Rex my whole life, and I pretty much want to stay as Rex. Mr. Bone was my dad, and supervisor was the guy that used to tell me to go move the groceries over to the other side of the store. So, and I've been pretty good with that. It helps knowing a lot of people, you know, growing up here and being involved with so much. So it's been. I hope to think I haven't changed. You know, I hope we're doing some things that are helping the county, but I hope I haven't changed to the point of just being Rex.
Yeah, same old clown.
Yeah.
See, every once in a while, I do remember the microphone is here.
Yeah, I do have to watch, yeah.
So as you start looking at this fall, you know, you guys are into the next fiscal year. What is going on with the federal level? Is it impacting anything yet at the county, or is it more just some of the stuff we hear about in the news?
It's what you hear in the news. We haven't seen – it's going to start affecting. I mean, the trickle down, you know, you don't notice it you know, at first. But you're going to start noticing it real soon. You know, you're going to have a real problem with people that work for the federal government and people trying to verify incomes for loans. It's going to be an impact, and it's affecting, you notice, on the stock market. It's going to start affecting things.
But the programs through the state or through the federal that you guys get, either grants right. or other program sources, is there a workaround right now?
Yeah, a lot of that stuff is, that's one of the, they have things that they call necessaries, and, you know, and a lot of that stuff is still coming through, you know, so you've already seen all the parks are closed and stuff. I mean, they
but not the golf courses.
But what's really funny is they closed all the federal parks that are privately run.
Yeah.
And that's really.
I heard one this morning.
Yeah, that's really gotten a craw of a lot of people because they haven't got
the parking lot for the park. Yeah. Is privately run.
Yeah. Yeah. So they haven't got money from that. Federal government hasn't paid into that park for 12 years. It's fully run, but they shut it down. So sometimes it's, I keep wondering, you know, if this goes on for the 5 or 6 weeks and we find out we really don't need them, what do you want to do then?
Kind of sounds like a liquidation sale opportunity, but I'm sure that would run into opposition. Isn't that the term?
Yeah,
that's used?
That'd yes. be State of Jefferson-esque.
Yeah, Mr. Reed would come after me.
Yeah, there you go.
But at least then we'd introduce him to the ocean instead of the desert. So
yeah, no slot. Well, I was gonna say no slot machines here, but I guess there are some. So
you haven't been getting out much, have you? KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19. We'll get down to those more serious stuff when we come back.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late Spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
All righty, 3-2-1. Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mr. Bone. Rex, the public meeting that happened, was it 3 weeks ago now?
Yeah.
3 weeks ago now.
The one at the Warfinger?
At the Warfinger. Yeah. Obviously that there's an awful lot of interest and a lot of frustration from a lot of folks about what we are seeing and experiencing in our community. A lot of people were there. I think a lot of people still don't know really what to do other than to voice that frustration. Inside the machine, have things started to evolve a little bit?
You know, I think the meeting was a good idea because it's costing the county, it's costing the businesses, it's costing people money. And you know, the answer to getting here is, why are we getting so many of them? I mean, some of it is our mild weather, some of it is our tolerant state towards everything in a roundabout way. We're a very tolerant community. And the other thing is they come up here for the marijuana industry. I mean, you know, it's well known that national magazines say you can come up here and trim, and they get up here and they do or don't get jobs, and then they don't leave. So I think all those are play into a factor. And then the amazing part to us is we're finding that a lot of them have incomes and stuff like that. It's just an easier lifestyle on the streets here than other places, and then they go home to their little apartments at night, but they live on the... They're not necessarily homeless. They just look like it. But a lot of them, we did a big camp.
So slobs.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, but.
But it still has that negative impact.
Yeah,
in the community.
No, because they're sitting around the town and everything else. And whereas I understand a lot of them, and the sad part is, and I've said this before, a lot of them are local. Not all of them. I guarantee you they're not all local. But a lot of them are people that are just out of out of luck here, because those jobs we used to have, the smaller mills that would hire anybody to pull boards and things like that, those jobs that they can do, and they've been out of the workforce so long, I don't know if they could ever get back in the workforce. We don't have that kind of job anymore.
So are the services, are the provider channels not in place for these folks? Because there certainly seems to be an awful lot of this group, that entity, that this entity, executive director here, executive director there, all professing to be doing outreach to helping these folks out. I know CR does an awful lot of outreach. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff, and they still aren't able to take advantage of those situations?
Well, it's kind of like you have to want to help yourself before they can help you. I mean,
sure.
It's like anything else. It's kind of like the mental health issue. I had this morning at 7 o'clock, I was getting a cup of coffee in Old Town, and I had a regular that's around town screaming and yelling at me for no apparent reason. I mean, very loudly, and I'm thinking, boy, these people live in the apartments must just love this. But if they are not a harm to themselves or others, there's nothing we can do about them, because that's their right. If they don't want to go in and say, do you want to take your meds? Do you want to do that? If they're not a harm to themselves, the public, their hands are tied. Mental health, their hands are tied.
But now there are communities that are, let's see, to use the cop phrase, hardening the target. That
they make it uncomfortable.
Instead of ignoring them, they confront them.
They make it uncomfortable.
Instead of supporting them, they try to push them. Do we have to change our personality in our community to deal with this situation?
And that changes our whole mindset of what we've been is, melting all our people together, the tolerant against the intolerant and the ones that are just frustrated, and trying to come up with an answer. And I think that was a little bit of the focus the other night. It was not I was there and I was inside, and they couldn't get everybody inside. And I didn't hear, we need to run them out of town or anything else. We just need to find answers so we can protect the property rights. They can come to work in the morning and they don't have defecation and messes or people sleeping in their doors.
Attracting businesses here. I mean, who in their right mind would have a business here?
Attracting good people. Try to find, I was talking to a employment expert the other day. He says, trying to get that accountant in here. That's a big draw, accountant and things like that. They come here and they see that. And it's a little embarrassing for me when I drive through the city. I mean, it's when I come into town and you see four people with signs and everything else. And it's not that I don't feel for them.
And the folks walking the sidewalks, pushing the carts and just kind of staggering. It's, I am significantly younger than you.
I think.
Yeah, anything more than a year or two. Well, we had our reunion a month and a half ago. I had a lot of the folks that came back said, what happened to town?
Yeah.
I'm sure you deal with it too.
I get it on a regular basis, and I get it because I'm supposed to have an answer, or at least, are we guiding towards a solution? How can we get out of this funnel we're in? And I think the meeting the other night realized, well, maybe there's something I can do. And like I've mentioned before, the county has some programs for the down and outers that want to go home. We can send them home. We'll fund them to go home. They can't come back. It's a one-way ticket, and the family has to be ready to accept them. But that's one of the ways we're looking at it.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
Are you thinking about opening or expanding your business in McKinleyville? Come see what the McKinleyville Shopping Center has to offer. We're holding an open house for prospective tenants this Wednesday, October 2nd from 4 to 7 p.m. We have great lease rates and incentives. Benefit from the foot traffic generated by quality businesses like Safeway, Ramon's Bakery, Subway, and Napa Auto Parts. Call us at 268-1800 with any questions or visit McKinleyvilleShoppingCenter.com. Come join us this Wednesday from 4 to 7.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Supervisor, even though he doesn't like the title, Rex Bone. Rex, what's going on with the community forest? I know that there are divergent opinions about the need for it, what the impact is going to be. I know that there's some tensions between who's in charge of what. Is the city going to annex it? Should the city annex it? If it's in the county, who's responsible? Blah, 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 blah. I'm looking at the thing going, okay, if we can afford it, that'd be interesting. Don't tell me it's going to pay for itself, because all we need is a couple timber harvest plans to be thrown into court, and now it's an albatross and it's going to take down the city.
Okay. Yeah.
But for traffic diversion, I get it. If it's something that's going to help clean things up and encourage development, I get it.
Yeah.
But if it's just another park for the city and for somewhere for people to run around in and walk their dogs and step in mud and stuff, do we really need it?
Well, it's twofold to look at. I kind of looked at it the same way you did till we had the first public meeting and realized how much it was used and it's not ours already. You know, doesn't belong to the county or the city. And,
roads can't handle the traffic now. If this thing's going to be attracting, Harris is going to get slammed. Hubbard is going to, we're going to have crashes on Hubbard.
Well,
Hall Avenue will get backed up. I mean, it's a magnet that everybody's talking about.
I don't think it's going to be. I think it's going to be a magnet? I mean, people can still go to the Arcata Forest. They can still. I mean, there's so many avenues that it's. The whole idea is to recreate close to home if you can. I mean, and it's the carbon footprint, the things you can do close to home and everything else. My big thing was when this started and is the way it was laid out, we weren't going to be able, in the future, the only other access out of Cutton ever will have to be heading north, some way north. Well, the way that the forest was set up, there was no opportunity for that, and it didn't look like there was going to be an opportunity. Well, the McKay Forest, as it's being proposed and the land's being bought, actually touches three supervisorial districts. It touches a little bit of Virginia's, a little bit of Mark's, but most of the populous impact is all one. And it's the traffic and everything else. So I was basically said, if there is no place to have a proposed road, it doesn't have to be built now, but a proposed road, I wouldn't be able to approve it. And we've had some engineers working on it. I haven't heard this week, but they have come up with some solutions. The funders that are buying the park are willing to accept it, or look, it seems positive. The other two supervisors, I think, will be okay with it. And we've got to have, we got to have at least three, but I think all five will be. And we're also doing a forestry plan. I don't think the forestry plans that we would propose would be sustainable, low impact. So I don't see it being any court challenges. It would mirror it kind of like the Arcata Forest, Marc-André, and they're very successful over there.
You wouldn't think Richardson's Grove would be in the courts either. Anything that's anything to do with development or economic benefit,
well,
there's a group, and it's the same.
Well, this is a win-win, even for the people that would propose. This is a win-win because it takes over 1,000 acres of land next to what would be the largest unincorporated area next to Eureka, Myrtletown, Cutton, next to Cutton, and makes most of it, not all of it, but takes most of it. There's a couple parcels they've kept, but makes most of it undevelopable, which means they will never be able to build on it, and it will be just 1,000 acres for equestrian, bike, and hiking trails.
So let's see that goes into play. Right now, Harris is kind of goofy a lot of the times during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Myrtle, somebody should have designed it for 5 lanes, not 3, when they expanded it from 2. We have these things, and we always seem to be behind the trailer on all of these. Now we're putting in something else that will be a magnet for maybe just people moving throughout the area, but it's still going to be a magnet. Can we handle additional traffic out there? Without condemnation of Hubbard
to make
that a four-lane Harris to kick it out to a four or five-lane.
And I'd be talking a little bit out of school until I see all, because they're doing traffic studies. They're doing formations, into the future to see what we're going to have. They're doing all that, what what they would say on the Beverly Hillbillies. They're doing all that ciphering right now. But I mean, and trying to come up with
you haven't changed that much.
Yeah, with all the prospectus that they can come with, so the impacts are low. We're also going to have how much is the park going to be used? We don't. It's not going to be an attraction park. We're not going to have swing sets. We're not going to have services. We're not going to have a lot of that there.
Like
Sequoia
Arcata?
Park. It won't be. We got to remember.
Won't Arcata. Have the center and the open fields. And
no,
stuff.
because you had that started. Redwood Park was there long before the Arcata Forest was.
Right.
And then they went off from that. So they acquired off from that. So no, we don't anticipate that. Probably the closest is going to be is like we've said before. We'd like one of the access points to be at Redwood Fields, because there's parking. There's a play park. You can walk and you can come back and Kurt Kramer is talked about letting an access go through his development as it progresses. So those are all good things. In this day and age, the bicycling, the walking, and are a big deal. And with all the people in the greater Eureka area, that's why the city of Eureka has been so adamant about being, included in this. So
you teed it up for me, man. You said Sequoia Park.
Yes.
You know the history of the zoo. You know the history of the park, the
yes.
duck pond,
yeah.
the bathrooms.
Got to remember who grew up there.
And that's even a compounding factor.
Yeah.
Sympathies. And you remember and you know all the garbage that's been going on there recently also.
Yeah.
Now we're going to make it even bigger and have it more difficult to be able to police and keep the drug stuff and some of the other weird activities from being in this large footprint when we can't even handle the small footprint?
Well,
I mean, you don't want to have your sheriffs having to be buzzing around there all the time.
No, and I don't
I'm
want
sure
this,
Eureka doesn't
and,
want
and
to
I,
have
and
PPE.
I don't when I and I do not want the this park to cost us any deputies or any positions throughout the county.
But you got it's gotta.
So, I
you know it's gotta.
Well,
unless that's factored into the harvest plan.
We're trying to factor all that in, and I won't know till the study's supposed to be done in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and there's like three of them. There's traffic, there's forestry, there's a lot of different factions taking on. And as soon as we get a little bit closer, we're going to have better answers.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Cool my jets, is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I cool my jets. I'm looking for the same answers too. And I said it before, one of the most capable men I know is Hank Seaman, and he's the point man on this, and he has been working his tail off on it. He's the director of our natural resources, and they have been putting an effort like no tomorrow, but they're not going to put the jeopardy of the county's budget on that. They know they can't do that because
it's state county.
Yes.
So even if Myrtletown is annexed, as it probably ought to be, this is going to remain.
I mean, Myrtletown and
county?
Cotton, if they follow through.
Yeah.
I don't know how their sphere of influence. I know it goes both ways. It will always be, if we set it up right, it'll be a partnership. They will suffer the consequences, but they also suffer the gains because a lot of the people of Eureka. So it's a win-win for the community as far as it comes for access and having a park close to our core of our county,
KINS, News and Information Times, 343. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 346. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, what are you hearing about the airport? I just kind of like to tap in every month or so. When Supervisor Lovelace was here, he said close, can't say anything. What are you hearing about the airport?
Well, he just went with our promotional director, went back. They flew back to Chicago and met with an airline, and it's close.
Is Tom Madsen involved in the
decisions? Yes, Tom's
decisions
very involved.
Also?
Yeah, Tom's very involved. Tom Madsen has so much on his plate. I mean, he's got natural resources. That's who Hank works for. He's got the airport. He's got all the roads. He does, and he's actually the CSAC, which is the state
and
county.
And he does his own food shopping.
Yeah, and he does the CSAC. He's the president of the state engineers this year. So I saw the crown. Seriously, they give him a crown. It's engineers.
Really?
It's engineers. What do you think?
That's cool.
But Tom does a great job. Tom has been trying to promote for another airline. He's had it's a tough deal right now, and it's because of the
national economy, because everybody's rolling over and giving the airlines what they want, because the airline industry is in challenge. It's weird for me that we don't get any kind of updates. It's kind of like, you know, if we were of that ilk, the behind-the-scenes negotiations in the smoke-filled rooms. Because, not that it is, but just because we don't hear anything about it.
It makes feel any better. I get about the same amount of information.
Good.
I mean, I get
I'm in
updates.
The loop then.
I get updates, and I haven't been part of that. So, and it's not to say it doesn't. We switch around, you know, job responsibilities and you know, different groups we're on and things like that. But I think as we move forward, I think people are going to realize the economy is getting better. Things are getting better up here. There is a need. There is a need for another airline. I kind of wonder with...
Let me throw out theoretical, since we only have about a minute and a half. What's more critical and what needs to occur first in Humboldt County? Dealing with the wandering wounded, as you were sharing, you know, some of your experiences. We all see it on Broadway, mm-hmm. et cetera. Or additional airport capability. And if both are even, what has to happen first for the other to be successful?
I don't travel as much as other people. I like Humboldt County. I'll take a trip here and there, but I'd like to spend my vacations here. I'm just silly that way, but I really enjoy the community and, you know, going up to Hoopaw, Wichipec, and those areas, going to Alder Point, Garberville. I like it here. So I think we need to get a handle on this problem on the streets, because we're coming into winter. We're not going to get it handled by then. But what happens then is then people start to suffer. People die. The weather turns bad. The indigent have that problem. And I don't know. I don't have a good answer. We're working on things. I applaud Supervisor Bass. She has started now every Thursday morning. Started yesterday. She's going to have a meeting at 8 o'clock with different officials, seeing questions, answers. What are we doing this week? Get the ball going and things like that, because it somebody has to make sure that it keeps the momentum, keeps moving, so we find some answers for these people that need help. And the ones that don't want help, if they're not from here, they need to leave. And I know that sounds harsh, but they're a drain on society. They can be a drain. That they're a drain on our public monies.
Thanks for coming by. Hope to see you on the road without anybody yelling at you.
I hope so.
It'd be nice. It'd be nice. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug some of you. See you tomorrow.